here at Rosie on the House, we're highlighting some of the architecturally interesting as well as historically significant places to worship on this Passover Easter weekend throughout the state of Arizona. But we are a call-in talk show that like you to call us and let us help you with navigating any problem or question you've got about your house, home, castle, or cabin. So Mark, who is calling from Maricopa, has a question or two. Let's see if we can help him out. Good night. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for what you guys do.
Yeah, you betcha.
My deal is that I bought a home out of here in Maricopa about a year ago, January.
Okay.
And, you know, it was a new build. Had the walkthrough, you know, the 1 year, whatever, for the warranty. But it just seems that I can never get the work done correctly and properly how it should be done. And, you know, it's a national builder. I mean, I know it's a track home. You know, there's issues that come along with that anyways. But it just seems that, for example, I have a kitchen door, or I have doors in my kitchen that keep falling off of their tracks. And, you know, about half my...
You broke up just a hair. Do we still have you, Mark?
Oh, man. I wonder if we lost
the
connection.
When he says falling off his tracks, I'm picturing this an indoor sliding pocket door.
Well, it's a cabinet drawer is what he was talking about.
Oh.
Here's, regardless of what the issues are, Mark, and it sounds like the list is kind of ongoing, here's what I would encourage you to do. I would ask you to put that all in writing and date stamp it and mail it to that particular contractor. That way you're capturing the complaint in writing should this ever need to take the next step and go to the registrar of contractors for resolution.
Something that documents this was a problem before the 1 year.
Yeah, and he's actually just had the 1 year warranty, and I would say, look, here are the things we covered at the 1 year that aren't done. Here are the things that have come up that need to be addressed, and get that. And if date stamping it means mailing it, certified letter, mail it, certified letter, and hang on to that. Then when they respond to you, simply say, and listen, Mark, we were talking about it at the top of the hour. Everybody in this industry is absolutely hammered right now. If they don't have a huge backlog of work, they're dealing with a huge backlog of needs for manpower and the supply chain that's been completely blown apart by COVID and oil wells that shut down and factories that have had to been, you know, social distance and protected. Everything is at a disarray right now. So I'm going to ask you to take an extra measure of patience, but document it in writing. And when someone gets back to you, ask them to communicate to you in writing as to when I could see a technician to fix this problem. When will I expect this list to be finished? And if you'll patiently set the expectations that it's all going to be in writing, it's all going to be documented, I'm guessing that you'll probably have a little bit better response from whoever it is, other than somebody just calling them, fussing, yelling, and making the poor scheduler's schedule day awful. Put it in writing, document it, and through the process of getting it all done, continue the written documentation.
And I'm not saying, you didn't mention the company and the builder, but the warranty work, you know, sometimes it can be somebody with a little less experience. They've got their best men on the job doing the build, and there's less responsibility on a lot of the little fix-up things. So you might have somebody who's maybe apprentice level. What you want is you want the 70-year-old guy that can't do the physical framing that was the A-man for 40 years but can't put his tools down. That's who you want to come fix it. So ask for your... The A-man repairman to come out.
There you go. And document. Look, we've tried to fix this 3 times already. Let's get the right person up here. All right. So, Mark, I hope that helps in the guidance of navigating this situation, and I hope it gets it resolved for you quick. Let's see if we can go to Maryland real quick before we get back to our topic. There are some of these locations I really want to get covered today. Maryland, good morning. How can we help?
Hi, Rosie. Thanks for taking my call. I was trying to recaulk the bottom of my shower. I have a tile shower with the floor at the bottom. The tile was coming, the caulking was coming out, so I scraped it out, and I went in this morning to recaulk it, but when I stepped on the floor, I could hear gurgling. So there's water under the floor pan in the shower.
How old a shower is this?
It's over 30 years old.
Uh-huh. So how bad is that? Are you seeing any indications of water deterioration or staining on the other side of the wall where the baseboard is in the closet or the outside of this shower?
No.
Okay. Having the floor a little squishy after 30 years in and of itself is not a real concern. And when you say a little squishy, I guess that's subjective. But if I got in there and I was on my knees and I put my hand on the center of the floor and I just applied a little weight, you know, if I got an eighth inch of a deflection in the floor or I could hear a little bit of squish, that wouldn't concern me too bad on a 30-year-old shower. But if I were stepping in there and actually feeling give in the floor and water was squirting out from these cracks where you've removed the caulk, that's a situation where you're probably going to have to take a look at it. You have a couple options. There are bathroom specialists that come in and they will just go over all of that with a fiberglass unit, one-piece fiberglass unit, and then they'll put the one-piece fiberglass walls up and put a shower door on it. And that's probably going to be about your most economical way to solve it. They put a new drain in that goes all the way through the tile, through the existing drain that's there, into the drain lines. And now the problem is all but eliminated from continuing. What's down there will stay there. If you want to gut it out and get down to the bottom and retile it, you're going to have to do the entire shower. You cannot just redo the floor. The way a tile shower is done is the waterproofing membrane that goes into the drain has to cover the entire floor and then come up the wall a ways before it stops. So you can't just go in and replace a tile floor. The fiberglass insert situation is probably a $3,000 to $5,000, maybe $7,000 option. Retiling it is in excess of $10,000. So I hope that gives you some starting points of ways to consider. I hope that helps you navigate the situation. Real quick, before we have to go to break, can we cover a couple of these locations that we've highlighted in the newsletter? Any of them particularly grab your attention? I mean,
they all do.
Yeah, yeah. The most popular one, the one that everyone probably knows, of course, is Chapel of the Holy Cross up in Sedona.
Oh, sitting on the side of the hill?
I mean, you know, and I have to say, I have never been in that building.
No, and, you know, I've never figured out how to get to it when you, and I've never tried either. But if you know what to look for, if you're going into Sedona from Oak Creek, not up from Cottonwood, but from Oak Creek. As you crest over and you see Sedona for the first time, you if you're looking right, it's almost straight in front of you. And once you pick it out of the rock, you can almost never not see it
again.
That's
right. It really is beautiful. And I will confess, I would have a hard time attending a service in that building.
Be too distracted with the architecture.
I would be too distracted with the view, that's for sure.
Is that the reason churches have such extraordinary architecture work in it? To
awe-inspire you. To awe-inspire you.
I have a question.
So you've got Chapel of the Holy Cross in Sedona.
I love trying to find things that you don't know the answer to. It's like 0.01%, but I have a trivia question for you.
Fire away.
Do you know which church in the world took the longest to build?
I do not.
Any guesses?
I'm going to guess Notre Dame in Paris.
Close. Any other guesses?
No. I mean, Jennifer and I saw a church castle in Prague that took 500 years.
To build?
Yeah.
Well, then I need to do some more research.
Well, it may not officially have been a church. It had a church in it, but it was a palace.
St. Peter's Basilica took 150 years to build. How do you, as an architect, pass that treasured project along to the next person? I don't understand.
Gosh, and then the guy that laid the cornerstone
never got to see the
rest.
Never
got to see it. Yeah, well, it's generations of craftsmen.
And the one that we saw, you could see where each generation took on a new, you know, there was different products or different style. So it was as you looked up the wall, it changed over time.
Well, here's a couple places right here in Arizona. If you haven't been and I always have a trouble with this, I have to say it silently to myself a couple of times, Tumacockery. If you haven't been to Tumacockery to take a look at the mission there, it began in 1753. That's 23 years before the Declaration of Independence. They were building a mission church in southern Arizona. And the fascinating thing about that, I think it's a state park. The fascinating thing about that state park is they actually have an area of the original foundation excavated with a piece of fiberglass, clear plexiglass, that you can actually look in and see the stones that were set in 1753.
Wouldn't think you'd find that in Arizona.
Man, is that incredible? Some rich, rich history in that part of Arizona. And just up the road, my sister always cuts me off at the knees because she says I pronounce this wrong, Mission San Javier de Bach. The White Dove of the Desert, of course, is a fabulous, and it dates to 1692.
Is that thing. San Xavier?
Yeah, and that's what she always slaps me for pronouncing it that way.
How is it supposed to be?
Javier.
Javier, yeah. Xavier.
It begins with J, right?
She'll probably she'll probably call and correct me right now, any minute. And if you want to, dear sister, you can. That would be fine. How about downtown Phoenix, St. Mary's Basilica in downtown Phoenix? It's beautiful. Yeah, the White Dove of the Desert is iconic in Arizona history. That's for sure. But St. Mary's Basilica, that's a church currently still experiencing worship services, you know. You got the Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Prescott.
I'm assuming that has something
Prescott.
To do with the college or the school, preparatory school?
Yeah, it's right there on the same campus.
Same thing.
The First United Methodist Church in Mesa. I mean, we have some beautiful, the St. Augustine Cathedral in Tucson, Clear Creek Church up in Camp Verde, All Saints Church out in Oracle. Some truly, truly beautiful places. And the Native Americans probably had it right to begin with, where you just found a beautiful place to observe creation, experience the sunrise, the cloud, feel the wind, smell the earth. And for that sanctuary, you could be any place your little heart desired in the great state of Arizona. And with that said, if you've never been to a sunrise worship service up at McKee Amphitheater on the south rim of the Grand Canyon, you should put that on your bucket list. And the other thing you should do is we should all petition the Forest Service for opening up the Mather Point Amphitheater for public reservation. Right now they use it, I think, only for ranger presentations. But if you could do a sunrise service Easter at Mather Point Amphitheater, it would be a truly, truly, potentially life-changing experience. So great places for you to spend this Easter, Passover. And I mentioned Passover, and I mentioned it quickly. But the first synagogue in Arizona is in Tucson, built in 1910. So you can also participate there.
Tucson has a lot of Arizona's firsts. That's where they entered in following the San Pedro River and established it right there at the confluence of the rivers.
And that temple, that synagogue, is currently the Jewish History Museum and Holocaust History Center. That's right here in Tucson. So how about that? So all great places for you to appreciate the significance of this weekend in your faith.